Hey there, welcome to Embrace Your Strengths podcast. You're going to hear inspiring stories of men and women who are embracing their top five Clifton strengths in all kinds of ways. You'll be encouraged to understand more about what's so great about you, learn how knowing, developing, living more moments using your strengths can bring you joy and purpose in your life. I'm your host, Barbara Colo. Hi there. Welcome to Embrace Your Strengths. I'm eager for you to listen to my conversation today with a longtime friend, Joy Watson. Do you ever watch someone and marvel at how effortlessly they can lead others in the midst of all kinds of challenges? Well, Joy is one of those kinds of people. When I first met her, she was already finishing one of her few different majors that she had at SMU in Dallas. With her belief strength, she has lived wholeheartedly by her convictions, and as she says, there can be a cost to following Jesus, but she has seen how worth it is. Her positivity is the backbone to the vision that she has as she leads an international school for students for their lives to be transformed. As you listen, pay attention to how all of her strengths enhance each other in the work that she does, and also the joy and the passion she has in the midst of all the balls that she juggles. In the realm of what it means for her to embrace her strengths, I see it as her tenacity and joy to say yes to what God has called her to do. And I know the overflow of her life, she has reached so many folks. If you're curious to learn what your top five strengths are and how knowing them can help you have a clearer direction in your work or relationships, I would love to help you to go to your next level through one-on-one personal coaching or also with the people that you work with, a team workshop. Email me at barbaragcolwell@gmail.com. As always, if you're encouraged or inspired by this episode, please leave a review and share it with a friend. Hope you enjoy our conversation. Hi there. Welcome to Embrace Your Strengths. I am so thrilled for you to hear from my next guest today, Joy Watson. Welcome, Joy.
Thanks, Barbara. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, Joy and I have known each other since she was a freshman in college, and I would love for you to just take a few minutes and introduce yourself, who you are, where you live, and what you do.
Okay, so it's great to be here with you. We're right here in Texas together today, which is really a sweet thing. I think almost, gosh, more than, well, too many years than I want to remember, but a long time ago we met at Southern Methodist University. And I was just so grateful to meet you and just know that I could have somebody that I could have a Bible study with. And there was a whole group that you had in your home. We all could go over there by bike or by car, whatever means of transportation we had. I was the one on the bike. So I remember that really fondly my freshman year. But so I'm here today in Texas. I've served overseas most of my adult life. And so it's just really great to be able to be with you here today and just to reflect together on God's goodness to us over these last several years.
That's great. It is such a joy to know you. And I know my husband, Warren, and I always say, call you joyful, because as I'm sure people can even tell just from the little bit of getting to hear you a little bit, you are such a joyful person. But for me, when we did first meet, when you were a college student, it was such a joy to meet you and to have you in Bible study and just to see your eagerness, your tenacity. And I had no clue of the extent of it. But as I've known you these, I don't know how many years it's been, more than we'd like to admit, but a lot. But I am so inspired by you, Joy. And I think even before we dive into what your strengths are, I just remember when we met, you'd already finished your first major in German as a freshman. And I'm like, whoa, this gal is, she's got some tricks in her bag. So anyway, I would love for you to share what your top five Clifton strengths are. And as we kind of talk about them, kind of how those things have kind of driven your life and kind of set a lot of path for you in the things that you've done. So what are your top five strengths?
Okay, so my top five strengths that you helped me understand a whole lot more about are context. That was my number one top of the pyramid strength. Input, positivity, achiever, and belief. And, you know, as I reflect on our friendship all these years and the role that you and Warren played in my life in just opening up the word of God so many times in your home, just discipling me with life on life content, I think God put us together in a way, Barbara, because I think we have complementary gifts. Like, your gifts are really different than mine, but I really needed the kind of gifts that you brought. So like maximizer, harmony. And as I look at it, I think, wow, no wonder we connected so well.
You know? Yeah, we're filling the gaps in for each other, right?
Exactly. But so it was kind of an eye-opener to see a little bit about what some of mine were. Some were surprising. But like context and input, they're not super exciting strengths. So it's given me an opportunity to kind of reflect and think, okay, so how do those really work in my life? And, you know, how can I continue to maybe even maximize them and use them more than I have?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what are any other insights that you got, even as we've talked a little bit about yours? I mean, you have such an amazing mix of your strengths. Like you say, I know knowing your hunger for learning and just how literally off the charts you are and how smart you are, Joy. And I mean, what was the name of the scholar that you were? I get all those mixed up because they're not in my league. You were what, a Fulbright scholar, Rhodes scholar?
I just don't even know.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, I think it's a great segue to just think about, like, what are things that are strengths that can also be weaknesses? Like, one of mine is input. I do like to learn. I do like to study. I love to research. I can sit and just read and write all day. But you know what? That's not always what God calls me to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to, like, just stop and say, okay, I've had enough input right now. I need to stop. And I need to, like, get something done with it. Mm-hmm. I've loved opportunities to learn that the Lord's given me and opportunities to try to use that strength of input. So right now I'm in a really challenging organizational situation that really has required a lot of redesign of a governance system. And the organization has four different companies and it's in two different countries that have very different governance kind of guidelines. And so, I mean, I'm using this input strength to just read a lot and to understand a lot of different complex organizational models and just try to put them together in a way that will make the organization stronger, in a way that will make us understand each other better and understand the full needs of the organization better. So, you know, I would say that would be like an example of using input and context together, trying to take these disparate pieces of information and how do we put them together so that they come together into a puzzle that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And even kind of undergirding that, like with your achiever and belief of really getting the work done. But ever since I've known you, you've been driven by your convictions, your belief. I mean, even like as you took your first opportunity in another country, like what really compelled you? I mean, you've said yes to God's plans for your life over and over again. And some places have been really hard.
You know, I think the more we've just, I guess when I finished at Southern Methodist University, I really wanted to take an opportunity to just share the gospel with people that were kind of more removed from the gospel than I was. And it was meant to be 1 year. But, you know, God has a sense of humor. And in that 1 year, he brought so many things into my life and that experience that really made me realize there isn't any other name under heaven by which men can be saved, but by the name of Jesus. Like, really, we all choose what we live for, and everything costs. So what does it cost me to stay here in a hard place sharing the gospel, or to what does it cost me to not do that? Everything costs, you know? So I think that was one of the things, was just beginning to count the cost. And I think the more, you know, everybody has different callings from the Lord of how they're to live out their strengths and what they're supposed to do. I think God was just really merciful to me and gentle with me and just gave me the assurance that he was continuing to call me to a life of faith and sharing the gospel in places that are hard. And it's the right fit for me. It wouldn't be for everyone. Kind of, I'm a knucklehead, and in these places, you kind of have to just keep going, and there's a lot of obstacles. And you have to be willing to go kind of slow and plod, and just, you have to be willing to design something and then have it blown up, and then to design it again and then have it blown up. And then, you know, but just to know that you're working for eternity, that you're working for something that lasts beyond you. I mean, and that's probably part of the belief. Like, I wish I were more motivated by money, I'd have more. But I really am motivated by belief. I'm motivated by the values that we live by, the values that I have, and how our belief systems can connect with other people's belief systems, and we can begin to see radical change in lives and in communities and in the world around us. So belief propels me, and the achiever part kind of keeps me there. You know, the downside of that is you can keep going when you need to stop. So I need people around me that say, it's enough. You need to pull away. Or for me to just stop doing, stop achieving. And then I pull back onto that other side. Okay, it's time for me to read, reflect, walk, get away, kind of try to put things together in my mind. I need to stop doing. So, I think we have to be really cautious of these kind of shadow sides of our strengths, as well as the positive sides of them.
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm sure even, I mean, I see just even the joy of your positivity that we haven't really mentioned, but just that spirit of hopefulness and joy in the things. But I think of the intensity of a lot of just situations that God has put you in, but just your tenacity to really say, yes, I want to help change this environment or whatever the situation is. But I love your positivity. And I think obviously that's rooted in just knowing that God has a bigger picture and that you can trust him. And I don't, Joy, you're just so tenacious and inspiring, because I think you have been through a lot. And I know along with your husband, you both have said yes. And said there's been a cost to what that yes has looked like, to take the gospel to people that haven't heard. And I just thank you for that, Joy.
Thank you. Well, you know, isn't God so merciful? He doesn't really show us. It's like, you know, Corrie Ten Boom's father told her, Corrie, when do I give you the ticket for the train? She's like, right before I get on. He's like, that's right. I give it to you right before you get on. And I think God's so gentle with us that he doesn't show us on the front end all that we're going to experience on the back end. We just have a choice every day to be faithful. And isn't he good to, like, I think part of positivity is really vision. And God gives us vision. I mean, sometimes he gives us visions. Like, You know, yeah. He says, I want you to go and do this. But he gives us vision. And so I think it's one of those things where as we lean more into his vision, our positivity grows. I mean, whether it's a strength or not, I think he gives us that sense of we can do this, you know, and we're called to this. Right now I'm serving in an international Christian school that's really been impacted by a lot of political instability and economic instability. And it's in a very hard place, just geopolitically. And yet we have a vision statement for the school. And our vision statement is, we see students transformed by a love for learning, rooted in the Word of God, and ready for life and eternity. And every day we get up and we might get a surprise from the government or from other people in our city. But that vision propels us. And, you know, and it's one of those things that other people around that they see it. So I don't know if it's necessarily a result of a positivity strength or if it's just a result of God's grace. Mm-hmm. But, you know, today I got an email from a consular official at the consulate, and we serve his daughter in our school. And he just said, there's been a lot of instability and a lot of problems, but through it all, we see that our daughter is thriving. And he's not a believer. He's not somebody who understands where all of these vision statements come from. But he sees the result of it. And so I think God calls us, all of us, whether our strength is positivity or not, to be people of vision, to lean into the visions that he's given us, but and to continue to just have a growth mindset that we can grow into this no matter what our situation is.
Yeah. That's great. I would love to hear if there's any other particular stories that come to your mind of just people that you've seen benefit, like from the things that y'all are providing at this school, or even in years past. I know you've been in this kind of work for a while, but I would imagine that there's story after story of people that like, oh, wow, now they get it. Now their eyes are opened.
Yeah. I think it's always exciting to see the Spirit work in people's lives. And I think there's something special. In our school, a lot of children are getting their first Bible. They're getting the Bible for the first time. They haven't had it in their culture or in their homes. And so they're reading it. And for the first time, you know, you kind of see the light bulb go off and they begin asking questions. So I think that's always really exciting to just see how the Spirit brings the Bible to and teaches people through it. And it's just always a good reminder to me, we can never tire of reading God's word. I mean, it is life-giving. I heard a quote from a student a couple days ago. He said, you know, when God made the fish, he spoke to the waters. And when God made the trees, he spoke to the land. But when God made me, he spoke to himself. And he said, let us make man. And just I love to be able to tell students and their parents that they are a unique creation by God, created to know him, and that he has an incredible, unique plan for them, and that all that they can learn with us in our school is just leaning into that plan and becoming all of who God created them to be. And I think as we see learners as really being in that Imago Dei image of God, mm-hmm. we get a chance to kind of shape and see them. And now, you know, my students are like some of them are married and they're going, doing incredible things. You know, they're working, you know, in governments or, you know, help, just doing all kinds of amazing things. And I can just see, man, I could have never believed this little sixth grader would end up, you know, drilling yeah. wells in Africa or, you know, or going to be a Fulbright and like, you know, crazy places. And so it's so encouraging to see what God does in the life of other people. And it's just kind of a privilege to sit on a wall. Like you're a fly on a wall watching, you know, God cause this growth. Yeah, I guess I can't really think of any other stories right now. Isn't that terrible?
Well,
that part
I'm
you're
sure
to edit out.
I'm sure there's so many, but I'm just inspired by knowing that maybe obviously you don't even hear all the stories of those things that happen with those particular students or even, you know, ones in the past. I know sometimes we'll hear from somebody, they're like, oh, I remember when you said this to me. I'm like, I barely remember you. But it's like God causes the fruit and the growth that we don't even always know about.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you were such an example to me, Barbara. I mean, I can send that right back your direction because, you know, I can remember so many times I had just physical needs and you were there to meet them. And if I needed a kind word, you were there to give it. If I needed a sterner word, you were there to give it. And, you know, I think that piece of empathy that you bring has really been meaningful in my life. And it just reminds me that everybody we meet has a story behind their face.
Yeah.
You know, and so kindness and empathy go a long way. And I'm really grateful for the empathy that you brought to me when I was a college student. I always said I got a twofer because, you know, I got you as a discipler and then Warren. And then I got Warren.
Yes.
I could always pick him all my input context stuff, pick his brain for
yes.
all of his Bible knowledge.
I don't even know what that question meant that you asked him
about. It was my seminary education on the side that I got for free from Warren.
Well.
But, you know, you also just gave me really practical opportunities to minister. So I'm really grateful. My favorite memory is when we got back from Mexico and, you know, I was going to help Warren out while he was in the hospital and threw all of his ties in the wash and ruined them all. That was always
with,
you
came
were
out
very
with pink,
empathetic
with pink underwear with the red tie in the wash.
Exactly. That was your cost of discipleship.
Well, the preamble to that story is I think so often of that trip that we did have in Mexico and you singing Via Dolorosa. And I don't know if you get to sing that much for others, Joy, but your voice is so powerful and so meaningful. We always think about you, especially at Easter when we hear that song.
And
so, well, yeah. I would love to hear, I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but like in general, what would you say? What comes to your mind when you think of you embracing your strengths? Has that been hard or enjoyable
yeah.
or come with a cost? What is what's your initial thought of that idea for you?
You know, I think, as I shared, I've had to think a lot about context and input, and they're not very exciting. They must be like your more introverted strengths. Man, context, that's my top one. Why can't it be woo or something? You know? But, you know, as I've reflected on them and have loved coaching with you, Barbara, so that's really helped me a lot. You realize there's power in these quieter strengths. You know, as you said, it's easier to see kind of those external ones of achiever and positivity. And, you know, those are out there for everyone to see. But learning to lean into the input and context side, I've learned I need a lot more time away from people to reflect, read, think, write in my journal, draw pictures of like things I'm trying to figure out to put all the pieces in a context. And I'm learning to give myself permission to do more of that. And not to feel like I have to be achieving all the time and not to feel like I have to be up all the time. So I think that's one thing, leaning into what I would call the more introverted strengths and trying to draw more depth from those. I would say a weakness that I have is making decisions too quick. So I love this. It's a book that's been around forever, but it's called The Contrarian Leader. And it's actually kind of goes against a lot of common wisdom about decision making. That's like, make the decisions as fast as you can and like get them off the plate. This perspective is more like, wait until the last moment that you have to make a decision. Gather all the information that you need and make sure that when you make it, it's the best decision that you can make and that you've gathered the information. And know that in your systems, there'll always be forces that are forcing you to make decisions faster.
That's and really good.
Don't let yourself be tyrannized by that. So I think input and context help me with that. And I'm learning to take it a little slower in decision-making to try to make, you know, better decisions, not such hasty ones. I think with positivity and belief, these people are really great vision casters. But if you don't take time to think where you're casting your vision to, you can be really in trouble. You know? And so I want to be much more careful about where I'm casting my vision, to whom I'm casting vision. What are we really, really going to do? And have that come out of that input context piece rather than just kind of off the hip.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love, those are some great insights about just that whole mix of what your strengths are and just how that looks. And I love as you continue to process that and grow in elevating those strengths, but being wise about what that means too. So thank you. Well, I have one last question. What has brought you joy lately or put a smile on your face?
Yeah, I think both my kids are adults, you know, they're done with college and they're living their best life as young adults. And I think the thing that gives me the greatest joy is when they just want to sit and talk. You know, late at night, they're home, they've maybe gone to be with friends after work or something. And then they just want to talk about their day or talk about what they're thinking or their opinions on something. I really love that because I think they're young adults now. And so I get to relate to them as adults. Understand their opinions, their thoughts, their questions. So that's always like a huge, huge treat. And you know, you can't force that. It's got to be their idea.
Yeah.
It's got to be on their timeline, which means it usually starts at about 10, you know. But I think that gives me great joy. Spending time with my husband, you know, now that our kids are older, we have more time to just talk together, even travel a little bit together. And so that's just kind of a sweet season moving into that where we have more time to listen to each other. We're not so busy with the hurriedness of life. So that's been really great.
Well, Joy, this has been such a delight to have this conversation with you, and you are a rock star, and I just appreciate you and love seeing just how God is using you and just the wisdom and joy you bring to whatever task is on your plate. And so thank you for making time to chat with me today here on Embrace Your Strengths.
Barbara, it is always so great to be with you. And thank you for helping, you know, helping me maximize more of the strengths that you've helped me to discover. Thank you for your coaching. This has been really great. It's been a great way to just get back in touch with you. So
yes,
this has been a real treat. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope this time has given you hope and encouragement about how amazing you are, or helped you understand someone you know or work with or love. If you're curious about your top 5 strengths, you can take the assessment at cliftonstrengths.com. If this episode's been helpful to you, please leave a review, share the podcast with a friend, or subscribe to Embrace Your Strengths podcast. You can find more information at Barbara Colwell, CULWELL.com. I sure look forward to our next time together. Take care.